through his eyes. Today I'm talking about compassion. Compassion. You know, God has compassion for us. And it's so evident in what he did through his son Jesus Christ. But what is compassion? Compassion is a combination of a couple things when we talk about it in perspective of our lives. Compassion is a combination of sympathy, which is seeing others' pains or situation, combined with empathy. Empathy is feeling others' pains, identifying with other situations because maybe we've been there. You see, we can have sympathy for someone and not do anything about it. We can empathize with someone, but not do anything. But when we see and we feel others' pain or situation, it generates compassion. And that's the point. Compassion motivates us to act. Compassion motivates us to do something. Let me give you an example. Sympathy feels bad for a person without food. Compassion goes and buys groceries and takes it to them. Now, obviously, we can't meet everybody's needs ourselves. But you see, compassion moves us to do something. To do something about what we see. Maybe enlist the help of others. But we do something. You see, compassion is a strong desire to change what we see and feel. The key is remembering this. God is the source of all the answers and help. We are just the channels that he flows it through. Honestly, there's times when, you know, we don't want to feel others' pains, do we? You know, we just want to stay in our own happy place in life. After all, we have our own issues to deal with, and there's plenty of pain to feel in those things without others. But you see, there's a balance to everything in life. We can't take on every burden we encounter, or we'll get bogged down and we'll get overwhelmed and burned out. But the Holy Spirit will show you what to do for your part. That's why it's so important to be filled with God's Spirit, to be sensitive to that Spirit, to walk in that Spirit so that you can be so sensitive to His Spirit that when He nudges you, He whispers or He speaks, that's for you. Do that. Say this. You see, people need a touch from Jesus, and we are His hands and His feet now that He's back in heaven. As Christians, we need to feel others' hurts, their sadness, and their lack. And compassion results in action. Compassion results in action. You know, oftentimes people are held back by fear. You know, I don't know how to approach that, or what will people say, or how will they respond, or what will they think. Or, for some, we just don't want to be inconvenienced. We're kind of focused on self. Look at Romans 1, verse 16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, first for the Jew and also for the Gentile, for all people." You see, the gospel is the power of God bringing salvation, bringing life change to people. And we can share the gospel without fear because, as the word says, it contains God's power. It is God's power, and He won't fail us. If people reject it, that's their choice. But it is the power to salvation to those who believe. But how can they believe unless they hear it? And that's where we come in. Turn over to chapter 12 there in Romans, or chapter 10. Chapter 10 and verse 12. He says, "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek." In other words, there's no distinction between races or ethnicity or those things in God's eyes. For the same Lord is over all. And he is rich to all who call upon his name. Now let me say something here, and this is the point. Your vision of God determines how you reflect him to others. How you see God determines how you reflect him to others. Too many people have a messed up view of God, and it damages how they reflect him to others. See, our view of God should be shaped by his word, because it tells us who and what he is, and by how he reveals himself to us in his spirit. See, the Apostle Paul writes that God is rich toward all those who call upon him. Rich in love, he's rich in forgiveness, he's rich in grace, and he's rich in mercy. Compassion brings all those things to people. Now, there's a lot of misguided stuff given out about God. Like we have to do certain things, perform certain ways, look just right. And you know what? That's not true. It's just not true. And sometimes we put those things on people. If they look different, they talk different, they act different, we want to write them off. But listen, all a person can do is call on the name of Jesus. And that's all they have to do. God wants to share his abundance of freedom and deliverance, but many people won't come to God because they think they don't meet the requirements. There's only one requirement to come to God. One requirement. Believe. Believe that he is God. Believe that you need him. Believe. That's the only requirement. Believe he's the answer. Believe he is who he says he is. And believe that Jesus loves you and cares about your life. And it's the church's responsibility to deliver that truth to a world that's dying for it. Turn a little farther over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You with me? Yes. Could hear a pin drop in here. I'm glad I got my cheering section down front here. These young people here, right, Ian? Rooting me on. Those pretty smiles. Ayana. Aubrey. Now all things are of God. Verse 18. Sorry, did I tell you that? Okay, good. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. And he's given us, who's us? Be more specific, who's us? Me, us, we's. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. Okay, how are you going to cop out on that? You say, well, I'm not supposed to do that. It's the pastor's job. Well, that just blows that up, doesn't it? The ministry of reconciliation. You know what reconciliation means? It means making things right. God reconciled himself with us through Jesus Christ. He made things right between us and God through Jesus. Right? He died for us. So it would make things right if we receive that and believe it. So the ministry of reconciliation, you see, that's ours. He's given that ministry to the church, to every believer. God isn't mad at people who don't know him. He just wants us to tell them how much he loves them. Not how bad they are. You don't have to tell people how bad they are. They know it. I knew it when I was bad. Well, I'm better now, but Sometimes I'm bad and I still know it. He just wants us to tell them that Jesus loves them and cares about their life. It's a ministry of reconciliation. You see, compassion, we have to have that compassion. Compassion tells of God's treasures and His freedom, His healing, and His hope. And it's available to them. And it has nothing to do with deserving it or earning it. Compassion tells them Jesus has done everything that needs to be done. And He's done it for them. You see, compassion, first and foremost, moves us to tell people forgiveness has already been paid for by the blood of Christ. And all they have to do is believe and receive. It has nothing to do with goodness, with our goodness, but it has everything to do with God's grace. I want to share this story with you. There was a guy I went to school with. He was a year behind me in high school. We played football together and did a lot of other things together that I can't elaborate on. But he became an alcoholic after high school. And it just consumed his life. It just consumed his life. He could never break free of that. He'd try and he'd break free for sometimes months. And then he'd go back to it. And this goes back a few years. He was a young man. You know, still a young man like me. Andy, who's laughing? And he was dying. And they called me to go see him. And he was dying from cirrhosis and just from the alcohol. Because he was drinking a quarter more a day of straight whiskey. And I'd go to visit him at least every other day for the last 2 weeks of his life, trying to minister to him. And I remember talking to him one day as he was laying there in the living room, and I shared with him that the gospel, and that he needed to accept Christ's love and so he wouldn't go to hell. And I will never forget, he's laying there and he looked up at me and he said, God would never forgive me. He said, I've done too many bad things in my life. And you see, that's the messed up view that a lot of people have of God. That I'm not good enough. Of course we're not. And I had an opportunity to share with him and convince him that God would forgive him. And about 2 days later, he died. He went into eternity. Compassion. Having the compassion that God has for us, for others. Just like that man. Having the compassion not to give up. But to keep going and try to convince him to receive God's love. To encourage him to just believe that God loved him and cared about his life. It's that ministry of reconciliation that God has given us all. You see, God's mercy and grace is available to all who believe and receive it. But in order to believe and receive, they have to hear it. They have to hear it. And that's where we come in. Romans 10. Go back to the left to Romans 10. Romans 10. Verse 14. How then shall they call upon him who they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now that doesn't mean people can only hear that Jesus loves them and cares about their life from a preacher. It goes back to that ministry of reconciliation we just talked about. All Christians, listen to me, all Christians, if you're born again, you have a born again experience, you've received Christ as your Savior. All Christians are ministers of the gospel. Now, we have different platforms, but all of us have a platform somewhere. At work, I can't go to your work. At school, teacher and students, I can't get in there. The ball field, your neighbors, the grocery store, the doctor's office, we all have a platform somewhere. My primary platform is in church, but I don't limit it inside this building. I make sure I have one outside there in the world, and that's where all of yours is. Even more so. You see, your platform is your everyday life. It's called lifestyle evangelism. Lifestyle evangelism. Listen, you may not think so, but people everywhere you come in contact with are desiring to see the real Jesus lived out in everyday life through all situations that we face. And that's why we can't live a double life, people. We can't live a double life and then expect people to believe what they don't see in our lives. No amens on that, huh? It's truth, though. It's the truth. Compassion. Compassion is sharing the gospel without shame. Not being embarrassed to tell somebody, listen, this is what God's done in my life. I've still got a ways to go, but he's changing things. Sharing without shame. Compassion is giving with generosity. It's giving your tithes and then going over and above, giving your time, your talent, your resources, your energy, compassion to people. Giving what God's given you with generosity. Compassion is touching with tenderness. Not beating people over the head, telling them they're going to hell. But telling them that Jesus loves them and he cares about their life. That's compassion. What about God's compassion? God's compassion compels us. God's compassion for me compels me to reach every person I can reach. I was at physical therapy the other day, and there was a woman I'd been watching them work on over here while I was over here doing things, and I was at a particular station, and she was coming to leave. She was finished with her session, and the Lord just said, pray for her. And I said, okay, I will. He said, no, pray with her. So she had to come by me to go out the door, and so I just kind of smiled at her and said hi, and she stopped and said hi, and I said, can I pray for you? And she kind of looked at me a little funny. I said, is it all right if I just pray for you? And she said, sure. So I put my hand on her shoulder just tenderly and prayed over her and prayed for God to heal her body. I don't know what's going on there, but there's obviously some things. You see, God's compassion compels us to just, like a radar, be looking for somebody and listening to his voice. Not just overwhelming people. Just when he says, he'll tell you. He'll tell you when. He'll give you opportunity. Somebody sent me an email yesterday. He said they called, somebody in their church had called them. Another person in the church and said, I just felt led to call you. God impressed that on me. How can I pray for you? And said, well, we've got a granddaughter that's pretty ill. They're doing tests. Don't know what. We're waiting for these results. And he said, well, I just feel compelled to go and pray for her and anoint her. Was it out of his way? Was it inconvenient? Yes. So he got in his car and got it arranged and went to a place, to somebody's home who he didn't even know who they were, and went in and prayed for this 9-year-old girl. Compassion compels. I think the results came back very good, by the way, of her test. God's love empowers us. God's love empowered that man to do that. God's love empowers us to share His compassion. It's not our strength. It's not with our wisdom. It's not with our understanding that we do these things. You know, it's to just ask a total stranger, hey, can I pray for you? You know, that's not in me. That's just God's empowerment that He gives us. And the last thing you hear is that God's Son indwells us. God's Son indwells us through the power and the presence and the baptizing of His holy fire, His Holy Spirit. And that's where all of that is generated. And that's where the compassion is generated through those things. Are you afraid to speak 8 words to people around you? Do you feel unqualified? Inadequate? Well, what if you as a Christian just started believing and receiving? Receiving God's compassion, His empowerment, receiving the indwelling of His Holy Spirit. Turn to the Old Testament to Jeremiah. If you go back to Proverbs, Isaiah, along in there, go to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah was a prophet ordained by God. He was also a very young man when this took place. Verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you, this is God speaking, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a youth. But the Lord said to me, I want you to hear this, young people. The Lord said to me, do not say I'm a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth His hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. These words were for Jeremiah, but they're also for us. They're also for us. If you study this, if you read this, if you pray over this, and if you pray to God and before God, He'll put His words in your mouth. Amen. He'll give you the words to speak. He'll give you the words to speak. God's grace is sufficient. Amen. Listen to me. If you don't get anything else out of this today, the people you come in touch with don't need a pastor as much as they need a friend who knows the truth, lives it, and cares enough about them to share it with them in the Holy Spirit's prompting and power. Amen. Let me say that again. The people you come in contact with don't need a pastor as much as they need a friend who knows the truth, lives the truth, and cares enough about them, has the compassion of God to share it. Share it with them. You see, it's God's ability. It's God's ability combined with your availability. It equals changed lives. Changed lives. Yes, they're most likely wounded. They're probably hurting mentally, physically, or emotionally. And their lives stink. They might even stink. But you have the answer that can bring God's touch on their lives. Romans 1:16, I want to just remind you of that scripture. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For everyone. Let me ask you, do you believe that the gospel is the power of God. Now, I know it's easy to sit here in church and say, oh, yeah, Pastor, I believe that. But I want to know, do you really believe that this gospel is the power of God? Do you believe the message has the power to change a person's life? Listen, we're not trying to sell ourselves or sell an organization. We can't fix their issues. We can't answer their prayers. We aren't their savior, their healer, their provider, or even their deliverer. We're just the vessel through which God wants to pour his love into others. We're just the vessel. Are you willing to be that vessel? If you're going to be that vessel, we have to wake up. We have to wake up and get up out of our comfort zones. If we're going to be that vessel, we have to move past fear. Move past fear. And be willing to sacrifice some of our time and our energy. Once you experience being used as a vessel of his love, once you see him change a life right before you, his compassion will change you. Don't pay attention to them. Listen, don't miss what God's talking to you right now. Don't miss what he's saying to your heart. Don't pay attention to what's going on up here. They're just getting ready to minister. Do you want to be that vessel? Do you want the compassion of God for others in your life? If you see God change someone in your life, it'll change your life. It'll change your life. You'll live differently. You'll think differently. And you'll go about your day seeing others through his eyes. You see, the church needs a passion to explode inside every believer, to be filled with the power and the presence of God's Spirit. And once that's released, it'll be a free-flowing river of living water. People are waiting. The world is waiting for his compassion to be given to them. And God's plan for his compassion is that it come through us. That it come through us. Bow your heads and close your eyes. I want you to focus on Christ right now. Focus on Jesus. Whatever you picture him as, picture him. Picture that compassion that he has for you. Now picture that compassion that he has for others. Maybe a compassion that when you look at others you don't have. The challenge this morning is, are you willing to be a vessel of God's compassion to people around you? Not just the people you know, maybe somebody you don't know. Are you willing to be that vessel? Do you want God's compassion? You know, God only uses He only uses people that allow him to use them. And that's why it's important, as I said earlier, people are looking for the real Jesus to be lived out in everyday life. In us, in the people around them. If we're going to have God's compassion, we have to be clean before him. We have to be clean with him. And we have to be clean in him. Clean vessels. Vessels that are available. Vessels that are prepared. Vessels that are seeking him. Vessels that are filled with his Spirit and walking in it. And as Shirley ministers in song this morning, would you be willing to commit to be that vessel. Maybe you need to come to Christ this morning. Come and receive Him. Maybe you need to come and just allow God's presence to cleanse your life of something in your life. Whatever it is, come to God this morning in the way that you need to come to God.